The question that often comes up from students is, what do you mean when you say dynasty?
Right.
What do you mean when you say dynasty?
See, the king, stay the king, all right? So how do you get to be the king? Y'all don't know how to play chess, do you? So nothing, man. Look, I'll teach y'all if y'all want to learn.
Brandon Marion Lee. You can find her at Brandon, her FFB on Twitter. What's going on, Brandon?
Hey, I'm here. What's up?
What's up? I'm so excited to get this show on the road. I followed you the past, I think it was 4 years, but at least three. You know, you and your sisters, right? That was with your sisters you started Her Fantasy Football.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved it. And I was like, goodness, I got to get her on the show one day. I got to do something with her. She's just, you know, smart. Her mind is just wow. And then what do you know? It worked out and I ended up winning.
Winning is always good. I don't know who's the winner here though, man. You or me. So we'll have a good show and we'll both win. How's that?
Hey, that works for me. Look, I got my buddy Lucas on the show. He's with Sleeper Wire as well. What's going on, Lucas?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy to be here.
Thank you. I really do love three-person shows because it's almost like you could get in an argument and have not just one or two sides. You get all sides of that argument. The one player that we will probably get on an argument with is Ronald Jones, who I know you have touted your love for over this all season, Brandon.
Yeah. What do you not like about Ronald Jones? I'm confused.
He's small for me. You know, he's just a small running back, and I don't think he can. Now, look, he produced in college.
He's 6 foot, 200 pounds.
Right, but his frame is just, the way he runs, I'm seeing Ameer Abdullah all over again.
Oh, come on now. That's insane. No. I mean, more than anything for me, it's about volume. I'm all about landing spot. I know that this is not popular in the dynasty circles, but I just think that it's incredibly important that we understand where the person lands. Tampa Bay was giving Jaquizz Rodgers 20-plus touches a game. What are they going to do with Ronald Jones? They're going to give him a ton of touches. So it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, he's going to get the work. There are some concerns about him in the passing game, but really it was just that he didn't have the opportunity. He only saw 14 targets, but he caught 13 of them. So it's kind of an unknown. It's not necessarily that it is bad. They just didn't use him in that way. And frankly, I think that's actually an indictment of Sam Darnold more than it is of Ronald Jones. So, you know, what have you. But, you know, for me, anyone who averages over 3.5 yards after contact is someone that needs to be noticed.
Look, we look at those stats, we look at college stats to basically guess production. That's until the rookie plays, finally. And I'm with you on that. I could totally be wrong with that. I'm going to be the first person at the front of the line saying, we don't know anything in the offseason about these rookies. Saquon Barkley could be a huge bust. Now, is it likely? No. Yeah. It's very unlikely. But we've seen it happen. We've seen people that have come out of college, these are still kids. They're highly touted kids coming out of college, and then bam, something happens, or they bust. Ronald Jones could be the best running back out of this draft class. I'm sure at one point in people's heads he was. I mean, he did things at USC that was reminiscent of Reggie Bush a little bit. Not in the receiving side, but the running side. I like Peyton Barber. I'm a Peyton Barber guy. And this is a guy, and it's probably more of the story I'm in love with. You know, comes in looking like he's going to be cut, and then he ends up in his last five games not having fewer than 50 yards and breaking 100 yards for one of the games. He's similar to Ronald Jones in his speed. They both have little burst in my eyes, but he's a little bit stronger. He's 5'10", 228, a little bit thicker than Jones. Do you think a committee is a possibility, or do you think Ronald Jones is going to get featured?
I believe Ronald Jones is going to get featured, but that doesn't mean that Peyton Barber will get zero work. He got some work when they were feeding Jaquizz, too, and vice versa. So I'm not, you know, going to say that there's zero work. I'm completely out on Charles Sims. It's been a long time since that's been productive. That's just not a thing. So I could see them sharing. I just don't think that you take Ronald Jones where you took him to just have him hanging out. You know, and I don't have a problem with Peyton Barber, but I think he's more of a handcuff. I have been getting Peyton Barber, though, late in drafts if I'm taking Ronald Jones, just in case, because also we don't know about health. We don't know about, you know, how these guys are going to go, you know, I guess. But I still think it's probably going to be Ronald Jones. I was very excited when he got that landing spot. You know, landing spot to me, and I know this isn't popular again in dynasty circles, is everything. You just, if you're not going to get the opportunity, it doesn't matter how talented you are on tape. If you're not on the field, who cares? And I know, yeah, maybe 4 or 5 years from now, they might get on the field. It's very rare that someone breaks out 4 to 5 years into their career, and this is kind of my problem with Jerick McKinnon. This is my problem with a lot of people, you know, is that at a certain point we have to let it go. We have to let go of the spark score. This is, you know, the Christian Michael truthers out there and what have you. I'm just not that person. I'm very much about context, which is what we talk about with me being a pragmatist. And that means that I look at the team. And in my opinion, especially after the Jameis Winston suspension, they're going to run. And that's what they want to do.
Look, you hit the nail on the head. I'm with you on landing spot. And I'm probably the biggest dynasty myth debunker out there, but I am 100% behind landing spot because landing spot matters. That's the clearest thing to success is landing spot. Look at Royce Freeman. Yep. He landed in Denver.
Love Royce Freeman.
But going back to, you brought up Jerick McKinnon, so I'm going to have to fast forward to kind of later on in the show when I would bring this up, but Lucas and I talked about it. Lucas, explain again why you think Jerick McKinnon just, I don't even know how to say it.
Well, you know, we've seen a lot of two-back systems work, and last year when Cooks went down, it was the most beautiful scenario that McKinnon could have walked into because he's there with Latavius Murray. He has a bruiser. He has someone to wear down that defensive line. And also, the Vikings had one of the best O-lines. So between Latavius Murray and the O-line, and then Thielen having his career season, and then Diggs stretching the field also, it was a very beautiful scenario for McKinnon to step into. The guy's 5'8", 5'9". He's your kind of X-factor player. He can catch, but he's not a guy who's likely going to be able to sustain 20 to 25 touches a game with a completely new offense that there's just so many unknowns. He's just not going to be the bell cow that warrants a middle, second round draft pick.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. When he was in the third round and everyone was taking running backs early, I thought, okay. But if the guy hasn't gone over 570 rushing yards yet in 4 years of a career, okay,
thank you.
We have thank some you. Sample size here. People act like, yeah, because not only was last year a good example, but how about the downfall of Adrian Peterson?
Yes. And
when Adrian Peterson was injured, he didn't step up then either. So are the Vikings just morons? I mean, is that what we're saying? Are we just going to assume that the Vikings were 100% wrong? He could not beat Latavius Murray to be the lead back at the Minnesota Vikings last year. That's the fact. Now, I'm not saying that he can't do it, because there's a part of me, too, that's like landing spot. The idea of touches, the idea of Kyle Shanahan, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, those things are important, too. Don't get me wrong. It's just, it's difficult, because I'm also looking at it saying, but if he hasn't done it in 4 years, I think only Michael Turner is the only person I can think of in recent history, but that was because he never got the opportunity. He has. I agree with you 100%. People who say he hasn't had the opportunity, I just laugh because I'm like, what about last year? Like, literally, even recency bias says he had the opportunity, so I don't get it.
You know who else was buried behind people on the depth chart, quote-unquote on the depth chart, was David Johnson. He came into the season as the number three running back, and guess what? By the end of the season, he was far and away outshining them. With the few touches he was getting, he was taking them to the house. McKinnon has had that opportunity over years. All DJ needed to pass two people was a few games. Like, come on, what are we missing?
And he's never scored more than 5 touchdowns in a season either. So even if he didn't touch the ball that often, he could have popped one off. I mean, look at Corey Clement. I mean, there are people that have done these things. It's not like this is an unheard of thing if that you really, you know, make your impact, get it done. My only then argument with myself, which I'm sure you guys do this too, maybe I'm an insane person, but then I say, but then who? Because I also don't think it's going to be Matt Breida. I don't think that he, you know, he's a small guy too. I don't think he's going to get all those touches. And I'm like, is this where Alfred Morris ends up? I mean, where do we stop with this analysis? Because someone has to carry the ball. So I guess it's McKinnon. I just don't want to take him in my second round. It's too risky for me. Too risky.
Couldn't agree more. He's like a poor man's Alvin Kamara.
So I only have three things to say. Jerick McKinnon also got replaced by Hall of Famer Matt Asiata for one of those seasons.
That's right. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Hall of Famer being the only Hawaiian to start and finish a season as the starter.
Probably the only Hawaiian to have two separate three-touchdown games also.
Oh, goodness, don't remind me of that. I got a butt kicking in one of those leagues with him facing me. Second is I'll play devil's advocate right here. So Jerick McKinnon basically profiles, he had like a 4.41 40, if I'm not mistaken. He also had a great, you know, did great in the three cone, did great in the vertical and the broad jump, had great burst, and he's strong. He had 30 bench press, maybe. I'm not 100% sure, but what I focus on in my dynasty rankings is basically spark score with rookies that come out of college. And that spark score is speed, power, agility, reaction, and quickness. Who he comped to skill set wise and metrics, he comped to LaDainian Tomlinson. LT is 1 inch taller, and Jerick McKinnon is said to be 215 right now, which would be LT's playing weight. Now, do I think he's LT? No. But don't you think that they have similar skill sets?
Yeah, I just think that I also was faster and better in 2014 as a human. I mean, I just feel like at what point does the spark score expire? And I think that needs to be a question because, yeah, I mean, sure, if we were talking about his rookie season and he was in a great situation like he is today, then I'd say, yes, put them those things together. But, you know, 4 years ago is a long time.
Correct. No, you're right. I'm just trying to play the middle here.
Oh, yeah. And Kevin White also was crazy, right? Like, I mean, that's
Kevin
why everyone
White,
thought, you know?
Who's the other one? There's
Christian
one
Michael,
other one.
Like I brought up before. He has like one of the best spark scores ever. I mean,
I'm really, really high on the Christian Michael hype train. I think I've driven the chain for 3 years.
You can't do it anymore, but, man.
No, I jumped out last year whenever he just didn't play at all and had a mystery injury for the whole year. That doesn't happen to players that are going to have a bright future. It surprised me whenever the Colts re-signed him, really. So, little tidbit for the listeners and for you guys, if y'all haven't heard. I think this was last week. I might have texted to Lucas or something, but I heard from a friend of mine who reports in the San Francisco area, San Francisco Sports, that Kyle Juszczyk is rumored to be their goal line back. Would that really surprise anybody? He had the second most targets from Jimmy Garoppolo in the last 5 weeks of the season.
Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
He's big, you know. He can play. They signed him to that contract for a reason, basically, is what I'm saying. And he can play a little running back. Yeah, he's a fullback, but the dude can run. I mean, he's arguably the best fullback in the league. I think he has like 4.7 speed, but you don't need speed to get 3 yards on the goal line. You know, you need to be a bruiser, and he's been a bruiser. I think he's 6'1", 248. I mean, what do y'all think about that? Is he even draftable? He's probably the only draftable fullback if you have to choose out of fullbacks. But
I mean, I don't think he got taken in our Scott Fish Bowl, and that was, 26 rounds? So, no, I can't really see a league in which he's draftable. But it wouldn't surprise me if the guy has, I don't know, somewhere similar to the same amount of yards as touchdowns this season. So probably like 10 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Well, he had the 28th most receptions in the league last year among running backs.
Wow.
He was he was right there with J.D. McKissick and Andre Ellington and DeAndre Washington, which are not like big names, but he had 33 catches for 315 yards and a touchdown. I mean, 315 yards, let me see here, that was 19th behind Devontae Freeman, who had 317 receiving yards. That's pretty crazy. Leonard Fournette had less receiving yards than him. And Tevin Coleman.
Goodness. He was nearly 10 yards per reception. So, yeah.
Obviously this is in super duper deep leagues, but you know, listen, I've heard crazier things. And if McKinnon can't play all 16 games as a bell cow, they're going to have to get creative.
I mean, he's not, right? I mean, he had 150 rushes last year. And McKinnon, I mean, granted, he had 51 receptions. So in a PPR league, maybe he is worth second round value somewhere, right? If we think that he's going to get 60 or maybe 70 receptions, like that's maybe not too crazy.
You mentioned he had 315 yards. In his last five games, that's whenever Jimmy G came in, he had 195 yards in those last five games, receiving-wise. He had like 20 catches. Mm-hmm. In those last five games, 20 catches for 195 yards. That's pretty good. I mean, for a last pick of your draft, you know, after the last 10 picks of your redraft draft, at least is a dart throw. This is somebody you can definitely get in Dynasty for free. I don't think anybody plays Dynasty and owns a fullback. Let's be real. But the upside of a dart throw, I mean, what if he finishes with these catches and then they give him goal line work? I mean, is it out of the realm of possibility? No. So I do think that this is in the deepest of deepest of deepest leagues. I mean, that league where you play with your whole family and you might have 16 teams in it. Maybe he's worth a pick.
I think there are worse picks. I agree with you.
I mean, Kevin White.
That's not a good one.
Or Christine Michael. I mean, any hype monster. Basically, the ones that are quiet that nobody talks about are the ones that come out of nowhere and you end up hitting on at the end of your draft somehow. One guy I'm hoping to hit on in my draft is Royce Freeman, who I think will be, you know, the impact rookie of the year. I think he's going to be the best rookie this year. I've kind of put my chips in that, and I'm more of seeing the upside with him. He, of course, has to win his job. Definitely Saquon Barkley and Darius Geis are the top two running backs, arguably, that have the clearest path to production this year. But if Royce Freeman wins this job, I think he's the impact rookie of the year. So we're going to go Brandon and then Lucas. Who is your impact rookie of the year, so say?
It's so hard because obviously Saquon Barkley you have to take early. It's an Ezekiel Elliott situation where it's like, yeah, okay, of course, meh. You know, I mean, but you have to pay for him. Just right. Like Ezekiel Elliott, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have paid for Ezekiel Elliott, but it's not like, you know, A, it was a mystery, and B, you got him at any discount. You had to take him in the first half of the draft, first round, just like you do Saquon Barkley. So, I think that's probably the guy. I do think it's probably going to be Ronald Jones. But I guess if I had to, like, dig a little deeper, I see you wrote him down later. I do think Michael Gallup is probably going to end up with the most fantasy points out of rookie wide receivers, just because that situation, there's no one else.
Yep.
Allen Hurns is not an option. Sorry.
No, he's JM and I were talking about this in Scott Fishbowl when it was coming up, and he's really not. It's kind of a 1A, 1B situation to start, and Hurns did have the great year a few years ago with Allen Robinson when they both finished as wide receiver ones. I think Hurns did. Maybe he was a top-end wide receiver two. So he does have the possibility. He has done that before, but that was largely based on touchdowns. And I think Cole Beasley has a slight bounce back in terms of usage this year. And I also think they're going to see an uptick to Rod Smith. And there really just is no one else at wide receiver, like you said. Terrence Williams, I mean, there's been some talk about him, but he's not going to take the job. He's not a one. Gallup is the only one on that team built for it.
Yeah, I just don't see. Also, my problem with Allen Hurns is that he has yet to play 16 games in a season since 2014. He only played 22 games of last time. He hasn't gone over 484 yards or scored more than 3 touchdowns. So now he's going to have up over 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns. I mean, that's what I consider a wide receiver one. And people, you know, and not just in fantasy, but for a team. For a team, you should be at least have 8. If you're the number one wide receiver on a team, you should at least have 8 touchdowns and close to, if not at, 1,000 yards. And I just have a difficult time believing that. Now, do we know for sure that it's going to be Michael Gallup? No, of course not. But I will say that Michael Gallup's strengths are what Dak Prescott wants, which is separation. Dak Prescott hates throwing into coverage, which is why he and Dez butted heads, right? Because Dez is all about being able to win the contested catches. You know, when it's him one-on-one with a guy, that's when he really does his best work. Well, Dak is like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have interceptions. I'm very worried, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's what Michael Gallup's there for, because he is just all about that huge separation. He's getting first-team reps in training camp. He's doing a great job. I think it only goes up from here. I don't understand why people are so hesitant about him. It's really weird to me. It's just people are obsessed with Allen Hurns, which is just a bizarre thing to be obsessed with right now.
That has to be the grossest pick of 2018. Allen Hurns. I will never feel comfortable coming out of a draft saying, "Ooh, I'm so excited I drafted Allen Hurns. This makes me so happy."
There's but at Cowboy least they're both
double-digit guys. I mean, you don't have to take them to the double-digit rounds. Right. So, like, I'm not angry if you take Hurns. I'm just personally taking Michael Gallup because I'm an upside person, and I just feel like there's a little more upside there. But, you know, listen, it's a bad situation in Dallas in general. So that's the thing, too. I'm not quite sure I want anyone that's involved with the passing game that much, but I do think that Michael Gallup has the clearest path to being the number one target on his team.
So this is a dynasty show. You know, we have a lot of dynasty and redraft and even IDP and Devy listeners. So you guys have been playing or at least have knowledge of fantasy football or football in general the past 4 years. There's a guy out there who came into the league, was looked at really as one of the top wide receiver prospects to come out in a while, named Justin Blackmon.
Yeah.
Do y'all both remember this guy?
Yeah, he was a world beater for Oklahoma State. That guy was phenomenal. Who was his quarterback back then? Whedon?
I think so. Well,
yeah, it was Whedon, and because
what if I told you? What if I told you that Justin Blackmon just came back into the league and he has none of the off-field concerns? Would you buy it?
Yes. No. Would I buy him not having? I would buy him. I would, if I had a late round pick. I would definitely spend a late round pick just as a lottery ticket for him.
And I bring this up because identically, like almost to the T, Michael Gallup matches Justin Blackmon and everything. And I'm big in player comps, you know, best comparable player and stuff like that. But Michael Gallup is 6'1", 205. Justin Blackmon is 6'1", 207, or was at his playing weight. Their arms are literally an inch difference. They're 40 times or 0.02 seconds of a difference. I mean, they're almost identical. So I looked at that whenever I was looking at the rookies coming into this draft a few months back. And once I saw that, I said, wow, this guy is off the charts talented more than I'm seeing on film. Because this guy, you know, you go watch and go back and watch Justin Blackmon's film. He looked like, goodness gracious, that dude could be a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. Then you look at Michael Gallup, what he did with the UCF, the Colorado State team this past year. I mean, the dude was phenomenal. The dude was literally looking like he could be the top wide receiver in the NCAA. I mean, you could argue Calvin Ridley or whoever was taken above him in the draft or whoever was talked about in the same conversation. But the dude played as a junior and senior at Colorado State, put up 1,200 yards both years at least, and had a 14 and a 7 touchdown season. I don't know the reception off the top of my head, but this guy is very talented. And I think that they drafted him and said, look, we want him to be our future guy. And they drafted him and Cedric Wilson because they know Terrence Williams ain't going to be there much longer. Yeah, they got Noah Brown. They got Cole Beasley. But Cole Beasley, I mean, I know he isn't, but in my mind, he's in his high 30s. Because that guy has miles on him. That guy's been in the league for a while, you know, it seems like, because he's been their guy, really. I mean, he's the most consistent wide receiver for the Cowboys over the past 4 years.
Yeah.
I like Michael Gallup's outlook. I really do. His talent is just off the charts. So real quick, Lucas, who is your impact rookie of the year? Like your one rookie that you're, this is going to be the guy to get this year.
You know, Freeman is, we talked about this a lot also during Scott Fishbowl, and after looking through all these guys, Freeman is that guy, because I think that Denver is going to have a bounce back year. I think their defense is going to be pretty solid, kind of closer to what we're used to. I don't hate Case Keenum. I know you and I were talking about him being pretty solid college.
He's the best quarterback of all time in college. The best. Show me a quarterback that's better and I'll tell you you're lying.
But close is Sam Bradford, and people are really disrespecting him, too. But I'm a huge Case Keenum girl this year. I'm just waiting in all my drafts to take him. If you're doing redraft, just wait. Take Case Keenum and pair him with Alex Smith or Blake Bortles and call it a day. Take him away, kickers.
You can get Jimmy G late, or if you're a believer in Baker Mayfield at all and his talent, which I love Baker Mayfield, I would love to see him week 3 against the Jets. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, I would love that. But yeah, Case Keenum, I think, has a pretty good year. And in turn, I think Freeman has a great year. He just has every opportunity, and Booker's not the guy.
No, I definitely agree with you. That's kind of why I like Freeman. I think Booker, at one point I was a fan, you know, but I think he has had the opportunity, similar to Jerick McKinnon. Now, naturally, Jerick McKinnon's way better than Booker. You know, he's probably on another planet compared to Booker, but I don't think Booker's the guy there at all. I think he's just the guy. Real quick, Brandon, do you know who's statistically the best quarterback of all time with 19,000 passing yards in college and 155 touchdowns? It's none other than Case Keenum.
Case Keenum, yeah. I was going to say Case Keenum. Case Keenum's fantastic. Also, reportedly, out of camp, he has yet to throw an interception. He has yet to throw anything that's even, like, off target. People are like, it's not even close. He's just, like, killing it over there. And everyone's like, wow. And by the way, I want to remind everyone, the only person that had 5 seasons in a row with over 1,000 yards was Demaryius Thomas up to last season. And 3 of those were with Emmanuel Sanders, also getting 1,000 yards. And then 2 of them was with Eric Decker, also getting 1,000 yards. So he plays well with others. These guys, big-time bounce backs, too.
I said in the preface of the show that I have no problem seeing Case Keenum making Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders 2 top 15 guys this year.
Yep. I mean, Trevor Siemian did it 2 years ago, which is crazy, but true.
Oh, Trevor Siemian. Oh.
I know.
It makes me shiver. Surprisingly.
Disrespected. He's very good.
Oh, definitely. Surprisingly, the third quarterback, you know, all time in college is Landry Jones. That kind of,
man, he was,
I fell out my chair when I read that. I fell out my chair literally when I read that. I thought I was having a heart attack because, man, Landry Jones just you want to talk about busts. Mason Rudolph, here we come.
Man, I watched Landry. I know he set all sorts of records, but watching him in college, my mom went to OU, and so like was raised a Sooner, raised on OU football. I hated watching Landry play. He got the stats, but it just hurt me to watch him. His decision-making was poor. It just blows my mind.
They just had the best quarterback prospect of this year, so I can't really say nothing about their quarterbacks, but that's some people's brand, you know?
Baker which prospect was that?
Baker.
You know, funny enough, their backup, the guy who's going to be starting now for OU, went to my high school.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. I know who you're talking about. The one that just, his name is slipping my mind right now, and this doesn't happen.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it.
I'm going to get in mid-show, and it's really going to be just, we're going to be talking about fourth-round wide receivers that just got drafted, and some crazy stuff's going to happen, and I'm going to go, oh, it's him. And y'all are like, what?
Name's going to pop up for you.
I mean, man, look, that's some people's brand. You know, some people latch on to the guy you just said, or Baker Mayfield, or Landry Jones. Not just Oklahoma people, of course, but, you know, people have their certain guys. So what I want to do, really, if Michael Gallup is a top 12 wide receiver this year, I'm going to make jerseys that are going to be just Michael Gallup brand and send them out to everybody I know that like Michael Gallup. I think that's what I'm going to do this year. Kind of wrote that down on a little note that I just found on my desk as an idea. So I'm just going to voice it out to where I have to do it now. I can't renege on the deal. So who is, you know, y'all, your brand? Basically, that's the guy you're getting everywhere. I mean, mine, as everybody in the show knows, is Lamar Jackson. That's my guy. That's going to be my guy. I think he's a Hall of Famer. You know, and he hadn't even stepped foot on an NFL field. That's just going to be the guy that I basically die by. Jalen Samuels is another guy. Marlon Mack, Michael Gallup, Deion Kane, which I'm higher on him than most. I had him at a as a top 10 wide receiver prospect coming into the NFL draft. And then one guy that I've been getting specifically this offseason for super cheap, and now his price is inflated way more than it was in the past, but it's Nick Foles. Because I see him being next year's potentially Kirk Cousins. Might be the quarterback of that free agency if he doesn't re-sign with Philadelphia, which I don't think he does. I mean, he has a lot of teams where he could go to next year. So I do think that players like that can be, you know, person-specific. It could be specifically for you. That's your guy. Who are some of the players that's your brand?
Well, I think really the Denver Broncos, and I actually am a born and raised Denver Broncos fan, but I'm usually the pessimist type that almost never has Broncos on my fantasy teams because I think we're always going to lose and we're always just, you know, downtrodden about the whole thing. They're just so cheap this year compared to where they should be, all of them, every single person on that offense. So because I am someone who believes that Case Keenum is a decent quarterback at the NFL level, and he was very good last year. I think he'll regress a little bit towards the mean, but I think John Elway's much better at bringing in quarterbacks than he is at drafting them, so I'm going to decide that this is going to be another good move for them. And I just believe in Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. I just think that their skills were not diminishing. If you watched any of the Broncos tape last year, it was just a complete garbage show. Everything else was bad, but they were not, so I feel fine about that. I guess I would also say that I don't understand why people hate Jarvis Landry. It will forever blow my mind.
Yep. And we don't even know. We like, let's be honest, I'm not even sure Gordon is going to start the season. I'm really nervous. I'm not sure with either. What's going on with him? Just randomly checks in, like.
Yeah.
I heard that it was because of the Hard Knock stuff that they didn't want him kind of in the spotlight. But I don't know. Goodness, I just bought all of my Gordon shares back in Dynasty. What am I going to do? I'm heartbroken right now. I was hoping that wouldn't get brought up for the whole show.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, no, you can't let that slide. I feel like as a human, I cheer for him a lot more than I do from a fantasy perspective. So I think it's important to divorce those two things from the conversation because clearly it's most important that he's okay. That's number one. In terms of what I'm going to do from a fantasy perspective, I feel like we put way too much pressure on him to be the same person he also was 3 to 4 years ago. And I have a real problem with that. I had a problem with it last year with Martavis Bryant. I had zero Martavis Bryant in my life. I told everyone I could, do not take this guy. He's still in recovery. This is the idea that addiction is just over is not true. Like, by any scientific measure of addiction. So it's a constant struggle every day. And also with Martavis Bryant, his quarterback was, like, talking trash about him. He was having Twitter wars with his teammates. You know, he was having a tough time adjusting back. And by the way, that's okay. That's part of the process of recovery. So I thought people put too much pressure on him. And I feel like people did that with Josh Gordon. They think he's going to be this monster. Well, you know, listen, he's working out a lot because he's an addict. By the way, a lot of addicts work out a lot because they're replacing that addiction. So I don't want to be, you know, armchair psychologist here. I'm just saying, for me personally, I'm just diversifying in terms of having some Gordon, some not. But I will have all the Jarvis Landry I possibly can, because the guy has the most receptions in history in the first 4 years of a career ever. That's not a debate. That's life. And by the way, he was playing with Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Mr. Moore. I mean, how did he do this? Because this is unbelievable. Oh, yeah, well, the passes were really short. Yeah, okay, but I can't believe he caught any at all. Did you just hear those quarterbacks? It's amazing what he's done. I'm excited with him, with both Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield. And by the way, those quarterbacks are similar enough in terms of their completion percentage, their lack of turnovers, and their use of their feet, that the same playbook can be applied to both of them. So I don't think Jarvis Landry will skip a beat in terms of it being one or the other quarterback, if that's a concern.
Me either.
Boom.
I mean, I guess also Jordan Howard. I don't understand the hate there. The guy averaged 4.1 yards per carry with every single defender in the box on every single play, and we're still acting like he's not a good football player. I don't get out of here. Okay, so he doesn't catch a lot of passes. Neither does Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, why do we pick and choose who we hate who don't catch passes versus other people? I don't get it.
It is tough. I think with Howard, the reason there's so much hate for him is that because he had the potential, then there were games where he was putting up five or less points. He had several different games where he just basically lost you weeks. And people hold real resentment for losing 1 or 2 weeks during a season, and they throw that all on one guy. So I think that's my guess, my best guess as to why Howard gets so much hate.
But how many running backs have that happen?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, for whatever reason, he just gets stuck with that stigma.
I mean, it's like, it blows my mind how, I mean, we just decide who gets a second chance and who doesn't. And I think specifically the fantasy community hates Jordan Howard to the point of depressing his ADP to where I'm just getting him all over the place. Because if I can get him in the third round, but I have to take Jerick McKinnon in the second, I just need someone to explain that to me.
Yes, that is the exact, I have that conversation with people all the time. And I have the first pick in several of my leagues this year. So I'm going Gurley. And then on the 2-3 turn, I'm usually getting Howard. Almost every single time. Almost every single time I'm getting Howard. Sometimes I have Gronk there, but usually I'm going after a wide receiver. I don't love the wide receivers around there, so I usually end up pulling Fitz, which is early for a lot of people, but I love Larry Fitz, or I go T.Y. Hilton or possibly Baldwin. It just kind of depends on who's there, but there's usually not wide receivers I'm just absolutely in love with there.
There's no reason why Jordan Howard can't get 30 catches for 215 yards this year and a touchdown. There's no reason, because enter in Matt Nagy, who, did everybody see Kareem Hunt last year, or was everybody sleeping?
No, we watched what he did to the Patriots.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that people saw he does use multiple backs at times, but the feature back is going to get passes thrown to him. Yeah, we're going to use Tariq Cohen too, but he's lining up all over the field. They might be on the field at the same time.
Good chance. Yep.
Yeah.
And they should.
I mean, right? Right?
They don't know if you're going to run or pass. That's kind of right.
This could be an Atlanta Falcons-esque offense in a sense, to where both running backs can have a top 18 season, one being a top 12 guy and the other being the RB18 or something like that. It's very, very possible, especially, I mean, people look and say Mitch Trubisky is going to be the breakout quarterback of the year. For him to do that, or if it's Jimmy G, or if it's Kirk Cousins, whoever, for them to do that, they have to make the people around them do better. They're going to pass to the running back. No matter which running back is in, no matter if it's Latavius Murray, Dalvin Cook with the Vikings, no matter if it's Jerick McKinnon, Matt Breida, Kyle Juszczyk, Jeremy McNichols, I think that's all the running backs on the depth chart for Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's going to do that. Mitch Trubisky is going to pass to Jordan Howard, going to pass to Tariq Cohen. He's going to, I mean, he can't just have zero catches or five catches every year. That's just, it's not going to happen. He obviously has talent.
I mean, he had 23 catches. It's not like he had zero. I think, listen, is he a good pass catcher? No. It's okay to say that, too.
Yeah, he has bricks for hands.
But he's working on it.
Definitely.
And he's obviously a hard worker. That's been very clear his entire career. The guy just keeps putting up over 1,000 rushing yards, regardless of how many defenders are in there. I guess for me, I think my brand continues to be the same, which is just that, like, I just like people who touch the ball a lot, who are on the field a lot, and I think they're the best fantasy options. And I guess sometimes that's controversial, but to me, it's just clear that, you know, guys like Jarvis Landry and Jordan Howard that people want to poo-poo on because they don't have this flashy side of being able to catch a bunch of passes out of the backfield or, you know, crazy ADOT, then whatever, fine. I'm just about volume. And so I'm going to stick with my guys. I'm going to stick with the guys that are going to get the volume. And if that's not cool, that's fine. I don't need to be cool.
And for everybody out there, just give a brief explanation, one sentence of what ADOT is, in case it went over any of the listeners' heads.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's the average depth per target. It's used as like a metric for, you know, determining, you know, supposedly, you know,
look, dynasty fantasy players.
But, like, the problem is that, you know who else has a bad ADOT? Like, that's quarterback? It's Drew Brees. You know, Tom Brady, you know, it's short passes. But guess what? That's what the league is going towards. So I don't really consider it a metric that is actually as predictive as we used to think it was, because it's not just about the big plays. It's about volume, and especially in PPR leagues. And when you do the little, like, you know, tiny passes down the field, you know, we used to make fun of Alex Smith for that, although he was the most accurate passer down the field this last season, like, out of the entire league. But let's just say, you know, it was like, oh, dink and dunk, dink and dunk. Well, that's now what all the good offenses are doing, is dink and dunk. And then they're having people do after the catch, which is why we have problems like in Tampa Bay, where Mike Evans doesn't even average his height in yards after the catch. Like, he's not even like falling forward. So it's hard for them to move the ball sometimes.
Ouch.
And so it's just, he's 117th out of all the wide receivers. Yeah. There are only five people worse than him in the National Football League. That's insane. So, you know, at a certain point, the game has changed and we have to just keep up.
You're right. I mean, that's, I started laughing. I had to mute my mic whenever you mentioned Mike Evans. I was literally just thinking of how horrible he is. And just looking
at efficiency-wise. But he does get volume.
I
do like Mike Evans where he's going right now, because he is going late for a guy who's going to get 100 catches.
Definitely, definitely. But not going too far ahead. Just, oh, I kind of got my mind off track. Who's your brand guy, Lucas? Real quick,
my guy that I'm getting, that I'm taking everywhere, is Alex Collins. Alex Collins is going in the fourth round some drafts, and he to me should be going in the end of the second round. And Jerick McKinnon should be switched. Jerick McKinnon and Alex Collins should be switched in where they're going. But I'm going to have him a lot.
I agree with you. I mean, I made it a point whenever I first got back into podcasts and then re-upped on the show and said, look, I'm going to mention Lamar Jackson and Alex Collins on every single episode. That's a full-length episode, not the little shorts. But, yeah, there's your mention. Alex Collins, we mentioned Lamar Jackson. There's a reason why they're being mentioned on every show. They're important players this year.
I do a surprising stats article. I'm sorry, my dog is barking and my husband's away. I apologize. But I do a surprising stats article for Fantasy Alarm. And right now I'm going division by division. And I'm covering every single player that is fantasy relevant. And my Alex Collins stat, I just wanted to give it to you. Alex Collins wasn't even on the Baltimore roster in week one. He didn't play in more than 30% of the team's snaps until week eight. And yet Collins finished the season as the 16th highest scoring fantasy running back with 973 rushing yards, 6 rushing touchdowns, 23 catches for 187 additional yards.
This is why I like Alex Collins.
Where's the hate? Why is he getting so much hate? I don't understand. Because You know where he was in the preseason? Do you know what team he was playing for? He's playing for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yep.
And I remember just watching. I wasn't watching the game. I was just watching the stats on my phone. And I see this random guy in the preseason who's chunking off 8 yards per carry. And then I'm like, "Is this Seattle Seahawks' new running back? This is him." And I had his name down, And then when later, when the draft came around and I was looking at the Seattle running backs, he wasn't on there. And I went crazy for a little while trying to figure out what happened to this guy because he just disappeared. And then he pops up for the Ravens. And then I'm just like, and then I picked him up in several leagues at that point because I remember what he did in the preseason for a different team.
This is why I like Alex Collins. People don't understand. They say, oh, he did this in a full season. No. No. What you're going to do right now on your phone is click rewind about a minute ago, listen to exactly what Brandon just said, write that crap down, and use it in every argument for Alex Collins because he is the man. He's Marshawn Lynch 2.0 in my eyes. I mean, he's the Irish dancer. He's the Irish dancer.
That's right. He does a little jig.
Come on, people. Get with the program. Just like Andrew Luck is getting with the program. How y'all like that little ease into Andrew Luck? He's practicing and looking great. Where are you guys drafting him?
Ooh, I'm still nervous. Brandon?
I think you don't want us to say this right now. I feel bad because I too am nervous.